the voices of the Passion with John. My name is John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's a sad commentary on your times and your morals, because what I just said to you can be so sadly misconstrued. I'd like to tell you a little bit about my life before I speak to you my little sermon. I was born in a place called Bethesda in Galilee. It is east of the River Jordan, where it comes and empties out into the Sea of Galilee. I was about the same age as Jesus of Nazareth and John the Baptist and actually Paul or Saul of Tarsus. You know him as St. Paul. I all knew all of them. Now, my father's name was Zebedee, and my mother's name was Salome, and James was one of my brothers, and together James and I were known as the Sons of Thunder, and thunder being the word of God. My father was a master fisherman, and he taught me and my brother James the way of the fish and the way of the sea. Initially, I was a disciple of John the Baptist along with my brother James and with our friends Peter and Andrew. We followed him many places, and one day somebody asked him, "Are you the Messiah?" And John said, "No, I'm not the Messiah." And then he gave this little weird statement that I couldn't figure out. He said this, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." And that left us scratching our heads. But the next day, it was as if it was the greatest day in the life of John the Baptist, because suddenly he pointed and he said, "There." And we said, "Where?" He says, "There. There he is, right there." Who? "The Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world." Well, that so impressed us that we decided to follow after Jesus and see exactly who he was. And by that evening, we left John the Baptist because we were convinced in our hearts that this Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. For 2 years, I walked with him, Galilee, Samaria, Judea, those three states. I saw him perform miracles. I saw him feed thousands of people. I was in the ship with him when Peter tried to walk on the water. I saw the glory of his transfiguration. I was with him in the temple when he knocked over those coin changer tables. When wherever he went, crowds gathered around him, and when he talked, when he preached, you just couldn't stop listening. And then, in the third year, things began to change. He frightened us, actually, because he said to us, "There's going to come a time soon when I will go to Jerusalem, and there I will suffer and die." At that particular time, we didn't believe him, but by the end of that third year, we had every reason to believe what he said to us, because after that wonderful Palm Sunday came the misery and the terror of that night in the garden, and then the judgment, and then shuffling off outside of Jerusalem to this little hill called Golgotha that you know is also as Calvary, and I couldn't believe it. Just the night before, I had been at his side, and the Savior that I had so dearly loved, now I was at the foot of his cross with the women who had followed him, hearing them weeping softly and silently. Profound were his last words, though. "To those who crucified him, those rough Roman soldiers, he said, 'Father, forgive them.' To the thief who came to his senses and simply asked to be remembered, he said, 'Today, you will be with me in paradise.' And almost right at the very end, he looked at his mother, Mary, then he looked at me, and he said, 'Woman, your son. And he looked at me, your mother. I can still hear those words ringing in my ears, even though I wrote this Gospel of John some 50 years later. We were in desperate grief when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came to take his body off of that cross. And they took it over to the tomb, and there they dressed it, prepared it for burial, and rolled the stone in front of it that late Friday afternoon, because only days before he had said, I am the resurrection and the life. And indeed, that is exactly true. He is resurrection, and he is life. He is the source of all life. He rose on that Sunday morning. I am the eyewitness of it. I saw him alive. I saw him as he came into that upper room that night, and he showed us his hands with the nail marks and his side with the spear mark. I saw him in his glory, and I saw him ascend into heaven. I wish you could have been with me just even for a moment when I was at the foot of the cross, because then you would have experienced, like that thief and the centurion, this wonderful experience, this glorious feeling of the love of God coming to you. It's the love that God has for a sinful world and therefore has for you. Now, you may think that I'm a bit egotistical in saying that I was the one whom Jesus loved. And really, it's not egotism. It's just the basis and the groundwork for all that is the gospel. And without it, our faith would be empty and useless and void. It's the love that God has for us. He loves you no matter who you are. And he loves you no matter what you have done. Here's a thought to comfort you. Has the world forsaken you? God loves you. Have you felt as if your future is uncertain? God loves you. Do you feel that you've committed a sin so bad? God loves you anyway. Maybe you should do what I did. Write behind your name the one whom God loved, like David, the man whom God loved. Mary, the woman who God loved. Jackie, the child whom God loved. Stand with me, please, at the foot of the cross and see what I saw. The great love that God has for you. And it's okay if you weep, because I know what kind of tears they are. They are tears of joy and thankfulness and praise to your Savior and to your God. And your heart will agree, will it not? When I wrote these words, we love him because he first loved us. I lived to a ripe old age, probably older than most people lived in those days. I outlasted all the apostles. In fact, I was the only one that died a natural death. And among my pupils were Polycarp and Papias and Ignatius and Irenaeus, one of the disciples of Polycarp, wrote that I spent my closing years in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus is on the western side of Turkey, right on the ocean or the Mediterranean Sea there. And that I died in the reign of Trajan, the Roman emperor, from about 98 to 117. A lot of stories surrounding me, but the best one is the story of my very last sermon. When I was too old and too feeble to walk, loving hands and arms would pick me up and take me to the service and hold me up. And there I had this one last message, Paidikos, that's Greek. In English, it's little children. So this old man was speaking to people like you, little children, love one another. It's my message from my Savior to you. Love one another with the love that God has put into your hearts. Love those people who are sitting next to you, who work with you, love one another. Love your family, love your leaders, love your enemies. Please, today, look at the cross and remember that there, the Lamb of God took away the sins of the world. As I wrote in my first epistle, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Until we meet again in the distant future, not so distant future actually, I bid you farewell.